Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.
Welcome to F1 Explains. My name is Christian Hugill, and for the first ever time on F1 Explains, we're live at the British Grand Prix! And we've got a lovely crowd in front of us who, if you're listening on the podcast feed and you're not with us here at Silverstone, you won't know that right now, as we speak here at the British Grand Prix, famously held in England, there is a certain football match going on, quite a big football match in the European Championships, which England are playing in now. But the hundreds of people out in front of me have come to listen to F1 Explains rather than watch the football. And for that, we love you. Give yourselves a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. You are true Formula One fans. Forget the football. This is a superior sport. So this is F1 Explains. My name is Christian Hugill. We answer questions from all around the world of Formula One, and we have listeners in more than 100 countries who get in touch with us by emailing f1explains@f1.com. You send us an email, we answer the questions. Myself and my co-presenter, Katie Osborne, run around the Formula One paddock looking for experts to answer your questions. Katie can't be with us this weekend. She apologises. She misses you, Silverstone. She'll be hopefully with us next year. But I do have a legend on hand to answer your questions. Who would like to meet a Formula One double world champion? No, the sun's out. We can do better. And we will do better. Who would like to meet a Formula One double world champion? Ladies and gentlemen, go absolutely wild and give a warm F1 Explains welcome to Mika Häkkinen.
All right, thank you. Thanks, man. Good to see you.
Mika,
you.
Welcome.
What a beautiful sunshine. What a crowd. Thank you.
Mika, we've not had the weather all day at Silverstone.
A weather like in Finland.
We've not had, for those listening on the podcast feed, we've not had brilliant weather at Silverstone today. But right now, Mika, here in the evening, the sun has come out. And I think that's for you, Mika. I think the sun's come out for you.
Oh, the sun for the fans. I tell you what, it is incredible. I mean, first time I came to Silverstone, it was about year 1988. So that's quite a few years ago. So this place, Silverstone, was extremely boring. So now, today, you know, I think, you know, the organizers and like you guys, you have done an incredible job to organize different entertainment and activities for the fans. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. It's good to be here.
We're so grateful to have you here. And you travel still all around the world with Formula One. You're an F1 ambassador. But there is something special about Silverstone, isn't there?
It's so hard.
Oh, it's very hot. It's very hot. There is something special about Silverstone and the fans here, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. I tell you, me racing with the McLaren team such so many years, the British fans were always supporting in good days and bad days. And the racing here in Silverstone with the McLaren team, it was incredible what a support we always got. And again, here today, I can see that where there's so many fans supporting, of course, the British drivers and supporting McLaren drivers, the Lando example and Piastri. It's just beautiful to see that. You know, it gives for the drivers, your support gives enormous energy. You know, they really want to do well. They really want to put the car in extreme. They want to put themselves in extreme to just for you guys. That way they can really go flat out, you know?
Well, there's plenty of papaya in the crowd in front of me. I just wonder, who would like to see a McLaren victory this weekend? Ever popular. So, I mentioned at the start of the show, Mika, F1explains@F1.com is the place to send your questions. We mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago, Mika, that you would be coming to join us. We asked people to send their questions. Boy, did they respond. And we picked three incredibly lucky listeners to join us on stage at Silverstone. Shall we meet our first one?
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to give her a really, really warm welcome. Please welcome our first F1 Explains listener. It's Sophie!
Sophie.
Sophie, welcome. Come and sit down. Oh, Mick has given Sophie a hug as well, which we really like. It's quite a high stool.
Okay.
He wants Sophie. Sophie, hello, welcome.
Hello.
Sophie, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I live in Rugby, so not too far away. We're driving in every day, so I wasn't camping out in the thunderstorms last night,
and
which
rugby,
was nice.
For our international listeners, rugby's right here in England, in the UK,
yeah.
Isn't it? And how long have you loved F1? What got you into F1?
I watched it as a child with my family, but wasn't really that interested in cars going round and round and round in circles. And then it's been about a year and a half now. Last year, we weren't able to make Silverstone because I was on my honeymoon, but we found a bar in Rome to watch it, so that was great.
Well, can we give a round of applause? Congratulations on your recent wedding, Sophie.
Congratulations, sir.
Absolutely lovely. What's your husband's name?
Jack.
Is Jack here?
Somewhere.
He's
over there.
Give us a wave, Jack. Jack's in the crowd. There's Jack. He's filming this moment. Hi, Jack. Mika, say hello to Jack.
Jack, good luck.
Oh, and you're enjoying it this year, despite the weather challenges.
Yeah, it's very cold. I wasn't expected to be wearing a beanie in July, but that's what happens
you've
in the UK.
Got a Silverstone-branded beanie.
Yeah.
Right, you've got a question. You emailed us. Put your question to Mika Hakkinen, Sophie.
So, Mika, what are the biggest changes in the sport that you've noticed since your time in F1 in the 90s and the 2000s?
Well, one of the changes, well, it's a good question, first of all, but if I go back in the history, one thing I can confirm, answer your question, the drivers in the past were definitely better. And the better looking.
There's a round of applause coming from the British
fans.
No,
okay, come on, seriously. Well, the things, the Formula One has changed enormously. Formula One, FIA, has constantly focusing improving the safety. You know, and I think that's a really important factor. You know, in my personal racing career, I had quite a few big accidents. But now Formula One is understanding this issue and improving the safety of the racetracks and safety of the racing cars. And only negative about that is when you are improving a lot of safety to cars, they have to make them bigger, wider, heavier. And in my time, when I was racing Formula One car, the cars were roughly about 600 kilos, and now they are heavy. Now they are like 800 kilos. So the driving is a little bit different, but doesn't matter. I mean, they're still flat out. They are quick cars. Of course, all the computers, all the data information has massively increased, so you can collect a lot of information from the cars. So you need a lot of clever people to be able to read this data to understand the problems. So that's why some teams have partners which has IT companies helping them to read this data to solve the problems.
Quite a few changes.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, good,
yeah.
Thank you.
Did he answer the question, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
No. One gentleman said no, but we'll have him ejected, Mika. Don't worry about that. Mika as well, I was coming to Silverstone when I was young with my dad, who's in the audience. Hi, Dad. And I was watching you go around the track, Mika. And I've loved Formula One since I was a boy. I've seen the sport grow hugely. I mean, just the number of people in front of us, young fans, older fans, fans from all different backgrounds are here. You must be delighted to see how the sport's grown. Your last race was in 2001, and in that time, the sport seems more popular than ever. As a Formula One fan, Mickey, you must love to see that.
I'm very happy, and I'm these days, like my work, F1 brand ambassador. I'm working with the McLaren. I do TV work for the Viaplay for 6 different countries. I have seen the popularity growing in Formula One, and we all know the Netflix has made a difference that way. You understand that way what is happening behind the scenes. And there's many people who like these beautiful cars. They are quick, high technology, but end of the day, we are interested about the people, you know. And when you are able to follow closely the people, how they think, these characters who are running the teams, the drivers, I think this is bringing a lot of people to join the Formula One and get interested. And I think that's a really good. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I think the Americans has done a good marketing work. Mm. To bring the Formula One to more closer to fans, and that's a good thing.
Definitely.
Sophie, how has, if you could grade the two-time world champion on his performance, how would you say he's done at answering your question?
I think it's pretty 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
My answer.
Oh, fantastic.
Sophie, thank you so much for sending in your question. Thank you for joining us on
F1. Thank you
for having me. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for Sophie, please, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and Mika gives another hug as well. I like it. I'm a hugger, Mika. Are you a hugger? It's a nice thing, isn't it? A nice hug.
Yes.
Yeah. didn't seem as convinced there. I just was impressed with the way you gave Sophie a nice hug. It was lovely.
Just want to make the husband jealous over there. You know?
Excellent. Mika, as well, we see the crowd of people out here, but it's not just, you know, the people watching F1 that's changed. Silverstone's changed a little bit since you were racing as well. But it always seems to be a circuit that drivers love. What was it you liked about racing round here?
Well, the Formula One car is designed to go flat out, you know, and the drivers, they want to go flat out. And the Silverstone track, you have such so many high-speed corners where you really feel the load on the tyres. You really feel the aerodynamics putting your car close to tarmac, and you really feel the engine power. So Silverstone track is giving all these elements, these performances out of the car, and of course the driver can feel all the G-forces in the corner. It's just a great feeling when you go flat out. It's so enjoyable. We are pulling, you know, the Formula One, like you know, it's a 5 to 6 G-forces in the corners. So your body weight is very high. So sometimes I'm just joking with myself that if I would go back to racing car now, I tell you my little six-pack would fly, you know. You know, it's a really, really amazing. It's a good feeling to drive this track. It's really great.
I bet. Well, our next listener has a question along those lines. So it's time to welcome our second F1 Explains listener to the stage here at the British Grand Prix. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ryan. Ryan, welcome.
Hi,
good
morning.
Have a seat.
Nice to meet you.
Ryan, there's a couple of things we need to talk about first. Firstly, where are you from? What brings you to Silverstone?
So I'm originally from Greenwich, London.
Nice.
Fourth year at Silverstone this year. First track that I'd come back to every season.
Fantastic. You are dressed in McLaren papaya, so you must be enjoying being sat next to someone who won a world championship, two world championships for the team.
Yeah, my dad would be very jealous.
Would he?
Yeah, he was a massive Formula One fan. And I think you were one of his heroes coming out. So it was you and Michael Schumacher. They were kind of the two that he looked up to. So kind of quite a surreal moment, really.
Oh, that's nice, Ryan. And another thing we need to mention as well is it's not just you've got a colourful jacket on, but you've got some fantastic red hair going on. Is that showing a sort of second allegiance to Ferrari or something? Or is that just purely a stylistic choice?
Unfortunately, it's to do with another sport, which is Arsenal, so...
Have we got any Arsenal fans in? Oh, you got... Oh, come on! We don't need to boo. We don't... Football / soccer, you an Arsenal fan?
Yeah, just get the crowd turned on me early.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, now is your chance to put a question to Mika Hakkinen.
So, Mika, so Silverstone is a high-speed circuit, one of the fastest in F1. What challenges does it present for drivers?
Well, okay, there's many challenges. You know, I started motor racing when I was 6 years old, so I've done a lot of racing and different categories. But when you're in Formula One, like I mentioned earlier, the G-forces are just massive. You know, they are incredible. And when your body is experiencing 5 to 6 G-forces, it brings incredible challenges to your body. And when you example with the Formula One, when you go under braking and the G loads go up to 5 to 6 G, you really have to keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, your tongue comes out of your mouth. You know, the forces to keep your eyes open, you know, when those forces are under braking, it's impossible to imagine unless you experience that. So your whole body going through incredible stress experiences, and when these G-forces are happening, your mind has difficulties to adapt these things. So that's why when I'm looking Formula One today and I'm looking at these young drivers who are coming to Formula One, they have a big challenges because testing is so limited. They are not allowed to test. They're only sitting in the simulators back in the factory, but you don't have these gelos in. So it's incredible how quickly they're adapting to this, these challenges, what they do. So in my time, we used to test 3 times a week in Silverstone, so we got used to it. But those forces are just difficult to handle.
There's one part of the track I wanted to talk to you about in particular, Mika, and that's Maggots and Becketts. For those new to Formula One or new to the Silverstone layouts, roughly halfway through the lap, it's such a high-speed section, and yet you have to throw the car sort of left and then right. How enjoyable is that as a driver, but also how challenging? Because those high-speed sections, which are also quite technical and require such movement in the car, that's such a test of a track like this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is incredible. When I was testing here or racing here and going through the Becketts example, you enter in those corners in top gear, you go about in kilometers per hour to over 300. And when I was driving those corners, I have to slow down because the car couldn't make it. I wanted to go quicker, but the car was just simply start sliding on the front end or rear end. And that was really, really great fun because it enables you to come back to the pits and communicate with the data engineers and engineers that said, come on, find the solution. I want to go quicker. But this car is not going faster. So it was such a fun, I tell you.
You could tell you a Formula One driver, it's still not fast enough. I want to go faster.
They're never fast enough, I tell you.
Ryan, how was it talking to Mika Häkkinen?
Surreal.
Oh, that's
right, nice.
Nice
to meet you, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm F1 Explains. Thank you very much to Ryan.
Yes, man. Thank you.
Excellent to hear from Ryan, Mika. And of course, you raced against a man, Mika, a certain David Coulthard. You finished 3rd 3 times. You finished 2nd twice at Silverstone. In 2000, you were only 1.4 seconds behind the winner, that man David Coulthard. But you finally took your win in your final British Grand Prix in 2001. When you've come close to winning a race previously, does it make you want it even more? When you knew you were coming in 2001 and you're like, it's been building and it's been building and it's been building, did that drive you even more?
Yeah, I had many times the chance to win here in Silverstone. If it wasn't my mistake, then it was some technical issue. What was the reason why I was not able to win? 2001 was my final year in Formula One. And when I came here, I didn't expect to win.
You know, really?
My mind was already set in a way that, okay, Mika, do maximum, of course.
Was that because you didn't think you had the car to win, or you just thought by that point, because you'd had so many close shaves, I'm just not meant to win at Silverstone?
Yeah, I think it was that point. You know, I thought, this is it. I'm never gonna win in Silverstone, but it just happened. You know, so it was a good lesson for me because never give up. You know, always try your best and always look for next day to be a better day. And just when you don't expect the victory to come, it will arrive, and it came in the right place in Silverstone.
And I want to talk to you about that man, David Coulthard. Do we have any DC fans in the audience? David Coulthard is still very warmly received here at Silverstone.
It was only one person, did you see that?
it was more than one person. Obviously, you guys, you know, work together as teammates very well. Oh, there's a DC cap over there. Hello, sir, with a retro DC cap. I very much enjoy that. What was it like having to balance that relationship? Because you two got on well at the time, but were also rivals racing against each other. He won his home Grand Prix here. You wanted to win. Nowadays, you're good mates still. They're always having a chat to each other in the paddock. It's lovely to see. How do you balance that sort of rivalry, but also friendship?
Oh, first of all, David is a great personality and great guy. When he became my teammate in McLaren, I already was stabilized myself in a team, and I felt that way, I'm the number one. But of course he wants to take my place. He wants to prove that he's the fastest. He was very, very physically very, very strong. And I think he did a great job. It's getting quite noisy. But we had a good relation, really good. He's a fantastic guy and very, very fast driver.
We've just had some more cars come onto the track here at Silverstone. If you come to watch a race live, you'll realise that there are cars on track all the time. There's always something to see. But they do get in the way of recording podcasts, don't they? Have you got the power to ask them to stop for a bit until we've finished the podcast?
Yeah, let me make a phone call.
Mickers on it. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring out our final listener. Please give a warm F1 Explains welcome to Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
Alex, welcome to F1 Explains. I'm coming over to talk to you because it's slightly hard to talk over the sound of the cars. Alex, tell me a little bit about yourself and where have you come from today to the British Grand Prix?
Yes, so I've come from Atlanta in the United States, so a little bit of a journey.
That is a long way to come, Alex.
Yeah, it was. It's been an adventure. My husband and I spent a few days in London, and then now we're here, so it's been a blast.
What do you make of Silverstone? What do you make of the British Grand Prix? Have you enjoyed our weather?
Yes, actually. I mean, minus the rain, it's 97 back home, so it is like sweaty, sweaty hot, so it's been nice to be in a jacket.
So you don't mind being in the cool temperatures?
It's a dream.
It's a dream, absolutely excellent. And what got you into Formula One?
Yeah, so I was at home sick with a cold, started watching Drive to Survive, and then next thing I knew, I was very, very far deep into the sport, got my husband addicted to.
There was a cheer in the crowd. What's your husband's name?
Colin.
Lovely to see you, sir. There he is waving, recording on his phone. And also, this, I believe, is your first ever Grand Prix.
It is, yes.
Have you seen cars on track? What have you made of it? How special has it been to be here?
It's been great, yeah. We've been here since Thursday, so we've been here every day. We're camping, so getting the full experience. It's been so much fun.
Excellent, excellent. Right, Alex, not only do you get to come to your first Grand Prix, but you get to sit next to a Formula One legend.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Not bad, is it? Alex, I'll hand the stage over to you. Ask your question to Mika Häkkinen.
Absolutely.
Right, thank you.
So this year, I feel like there's been a lot of talk about driver contracts and negotiations. So drivers choosing to move teams, re-sign with their current team. Can you tell me what that process is like for a driver? When do contract negotiations begin and how long do they usually last?
But in my career, I had a manager who was doing the work for me, negotiating with the different teams and negotiating of the contract. He always told me that, Mika, please, could you make my life easier and just win? You know, so the negotiations are much easier to do. But sometimes that's not the case. So the teams are always analyzing very carefully the drivers, who they are, what are their personalities, what is their way of working inside in a team with the other driver. And this is very important factors, you know, because the driver is the person who motivates the team, motivates the employees, motivates the mechanics. And not only bringing the success at the track, but the success has to be also outside of the car. So these negotiations are always can take a really long time, and they can be very complicated, very difficult. But these negotiations never stop. When the driver signing the deal with the A team, when they're signing the contract with the team, the manager is already starting the negotiations. You know, for the next, in the future, what's going to happen. But in my time, when your contract was finishing, the negotiation started in that year, already in early January. And in time of August, the deal was normally done. So it was pretty easy, but I was never worried. I think I personally was always so confident that way. I'm the number one, I'm the best, you know. So that's what I was thinking. But nevertheless, you know, it's the contracts, the negotiations are always extremely complicated. You know, the Formula One contract is probably 80 pages and every single detail is written, what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. That way there is no any disagreement the day when you put your signature in a paper. And that's why you need help. You know, these young drivers, when they are there, they need help from the professional people to make sure they protect you for the future.
Mika, you drove for two Formula One teams. You had a couple of years at Lotus and then you were most famously with McLaren. But can you give us a bit of gossip? Did you ever negotiate with any other Formula One teams? Did you ever look around? Did you ever come close to going somewhere else?
No, of course.
Who? Go on.
Well, I don't tell you that one.
I mean, there's some Ferrari caps around. Do you ever fancy a bit of Ferrari? Ever do a Lewis Hamilton and I'm going to have a bit of time at Ferrari?
No, honestly, you know, when I was racing 2 years with Team Lotus and I started doing quite well in my second year with Team Lotus, I started receiving a lot of... that time there was a fax machine, not emails, you know. So I started receiving a lot of faxes from different teams to offer me to drive. And for me, it was such an important factor to choose the team who has a great history. And I wasn't looking only the money and looking at only that current situation. I was looking more to history because I thought history has a reason why they did it well. So I thought I can continue that legacy. So it took a bit longer, but it worked out. So that's why I decided to be loyal for McLaren for long term. And that's where we made a success, and it worked.
Who would you drive for, Alex? I know you're wearing a Ferrari cap. Is that who you'd want to go for?
Absolutely.
And Mika, there is a certain romance with the Ferrari red, isn't there? You can see why people like Lewis have decided to go for it. There is always been that romance around Ferrari, hasn't there?
Yeah. Okay.
Never fancied it?
Oh, it's okay.
Excellent. Alex, have you enjoyed talking to Mika?
I have. This has been
thank
awesome.
You so
thank
much.
You so much.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm round of applause to Alex, everyone.
Thank you.
Alex, safe travels back home. We've really enjoyed having you here. Mika, it's been an absolute joy having you on F1 Explained.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you are still so popular here at Silverstone.
What a great fans, I tell you.
Well, guys, show your appreciation
number
for Mika Häkkinen.
Well done. Thank you.
Mika, it must be nice because you've obviously, you know, been out of Formula One in terms of driving for a long time and still you come to races that aren't even your home race and still have such a warm reception. It must be lovely for you.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I really appreciate it. Happy for the sunshine. Good job, guys, and have a great weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give one final send-off to Mika Häkkinen. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Mika Häkkinen on stage with me at the British Grand Prix. What a legend. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Mika is such a nice man. And we had such a lovely audience in front of us on the Drivers In stage at Silverstone at the British Grand Prix. Thank you so much to the hundreds and hundreds of people that came to watch. And for those who weren't with us at Silverstone, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Thanks to our listeners who came on stage with us too. And there will be more F1 Explains live shows at Grand Prix before the end of the 2024 season. We're hugely looking forward to it. Right, next week we've got a fantastic episode for you that myself and Katie recorded in Canada, where we explain why Formula One is such a team sport. Trust me, no matter how long you've been with F1 for, you'll learn something from that episode. It's fascinating. Then, on the weekend of the Belgian Grand Prix, we've got a really cool episode for you. We're going to be behind the scenes with one of our teams, giving you an insight into what happens inside their garage on a race weekend. It is fascinating, rare insight. Rare access, and trust me, you're going to love it. We're then off for a few weeks for the Formula One summer break, but back on August the 23rd, and we want your questions for the second half of the Formula One season. So what do you want us to explain in part two of the 2024 season? F1 Explains at f1.com is the place to send me and Katie an email, and of course we'll be on hand to answer them, run up and down the paddock and find the best people for the job. We've got new episodes right here every Friday. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and leave us a lovely review. And we look forward to seeing you back here at the same time next week. For me, Christian Hugill on F1 Explained. Bye for now.